And now presenting
The Truth to Wellness Ministries,
the voice of overseas Christianity, with your hosts,
University Professors Dr. T and June.
Colors of the rainbow, all the voices of the wind.
Well, hello everybody and welcome to Truth to Wellness Ministry. I am Dr. T, one of your hosts. Our program airs every Thursday night, 6 to 6:30, both at this station as well as 91.7 WAPB in Madison, Florida. You can also follow us on the web by going to truthtowellness.com. That again is truthtowellness.com. And if you go to the radio program, you can see both Season 2 and Season 3, which is where we are right now. And you can see the previous programs as well as the programs playing right now. This is now part 4 on our study of grace and the law. I think that it's very important for you, if you have not heard the previous parts, to go to our website. The previous sections are under. This is truthtowellness.com. Truth to Wellness, all words, no numbers. And no spaces in between.com. And if you go under our radio program, you will see where it says Season 2 and Season 3. If you click on Season 3, you can see all the different teachings that we have here. Again, we are focusing and we are definitely emphasizing teachings as we have them overseas to hope to bring some richness to you in terms of understanding Bible and understanding why overseas we see God moving and why overseas God is alive and Christians are also alive, much more so than what we see here. I think that there is some element of teaching that is different, and that as well as living where you're being tried by fire, I think those two things affect each other and change some of the views of the scriptures as well when you see God moving. So this is why we are endeavoring to offer the different teachings as we would see them from overseas and bring them here. One of the big differences is obviously how we look at Christ. I think that it would be agreed by most overseas scholars that here in U.S. we are much more legalistic. We kind of see Christ as somebody who is a God, a merciful God up there, but he expects us to live right and he expects us to walk right. I used to believe that. I now believe that he expects me to be in a relationship with him, which is also known as walking in grace. And then because I'm in a relationship with him, I will live right and walk right, as opposed to that being a requirement. And if you're ever wondering if you are really walking grace or walking love, simply just ask yourself this question. When you sin or you do something that is not right, do you think that at that moment God is upset at you? Do you think that at that moment God loves you any less? And we know even from what Jesus said, he said, if you earthly fathers, evil being, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more does Heavenly Father? So he compares us earthly fathers and says Heavenly Father is much greater than you are. And obviously I would definitely not be upset and, you know, throw my child away just because they made a mistake. I would try to help them and to help them learn and understand why some of the things that they request are there. And that's exactly how God treats us. So it's not to say we go and live how we want to live. Now, that's not at all the case. But God doesn't love us any less. He just gave commandments there for us to know how to stay away from the things that will hurt us. So this is the approach that we have to have. And this is the understanding that we have to have. And we actually get it mostly when we walk in a relationship with Christ. I have heard a lot of people say that they have a relationship with Christ, but then when you talk to them about some controversial topic or some political topic, you see the bitterness, you see the hatred, you see the intolerance come out. And I go, my Lord, that's not a relationship with you, not the Christ I know. The Christ I know is loving and caring. You know, as I said to one person who was telling me about being pro-life, and I said, well, I'm pro-life in all sorts of, all aspects. And she said, well, what do you mean? I said, well, do you believe in capital punishment? She said, yes, I do. I said, see, I'm pro-life. I don't. Do you believe in us bombing Iraq? She said, yes, I do. I said, I don't. I am pro-life. So you see how many times we here in the U.S. got used to certain phraseology, but I'm not sure that we actually think about it. And this is one of the things that if you travel overseas, you will hear. You will actually find out from the people overseas, and they will start to question. And then very often, and I've seen this too many times, the American Christians get upset. Oh, well, how come you? How dare you? Well, the question, because there is a question to be made. And so I think that we have to stop pointing fingers at others and maybe start examining ourselves. First, let's listen to a song.
Some say, don't give up and hope that your good is good enough. Head down. Keep on working, if you can earn it, you deserve it. Some say, push on through, after all it's the least that you can do. But don't buy what they're selling, it couldn't be further from the truth. What if I were the one to tell you? News ever. Some say don't ask for help, God helps the ones who help themselves. So press on, get it right, otherwise get left behind. Some say he's keeping score, so try hard then try a little more. But hold up, if this were true, explain to me what the cross is for.
Now, what I want to talk to you about in this section is the driving principle behind the law and behind grace. I think first and foremost, we have to understand that even though the law is based on principles of love, remember that Jesus said that the first commandment is love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul. And the second one is like your neighbor as yourself. Jesus then went on to say that on this two principles is built all the law and the prophets. So the law is based on a principle of love, but the mechanism of the law is actually fear and focus on good deeds. So what I mean by this, and I touched on it a little bit earlier, is that in law, for example, even our basic civil law here that we have, when you drive a car, you are paying attention to that speed limit because you do believe that there could be a policeman sitting somewhere with a radar. And that is why it's based on a principle of fear. And this is the big reason why law doesn't work and is not able to set us free. There are some other aspects about law that you may want to keep in mind. For example, when you do something, it's not substitutable. For example, you won't get off a speeding ticket because you donated to church today. So if you get pulled over for speeding and then you go to the judge and you say, well, Your Honor, I donated to church extra amount of money today, so I really should be let go. It doesn't work. In law, you cannot take a good deed to substitute a bad deed. The good deeds don't count. If you cross the law, you cross the law. Now, another aspect of law that we should keep in mind is that law is based on the outward actions and not the driving force of those actions. So you see that under the law, Saul would have been better than King David because Saul didn't commit adultery and do all the things that King David did. But nevertheless, God loved David and hated Saul because David had a heart that was in love with God. Another thing we need to keep in mind about law is the law focuses on human strength and is a reward, not a gift. It is something that is earned. The reward requires that there is a value in something that we do, but in fact, everything we do is like a polluted garment, as it says in Serbian, to our God. So this is one of the problems with the law. Essentially, this is the reason if we just break one law, there is nothing we can offer. And this is why Christ had to die. And this brings me to the last point I want to bring in here, and that is that the law assumes that we have something to offer to God. That is that, and that is really the basis of many religions today. You have to do this and this, you have to jump so many times, you have to climb the mountain on your knees, you have to do all these things, torture yourself so that you get God's attention. That is the aspect of law. Now, that is not necessarily the aspect of law from the scripture, but you see that law exists in all the different forms, almost every form or tradition out there, whether it's Hinduism, whether it is Buddhism, whether it is Muslim, and many Christian movements. They are based on the aspect of law, aspect of you doing something to earn something. We can see that in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 3, 5 and 6, it says, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God, is from God. And I have mentioned this verse before, but I was focusing more on where it says about ministers of a new covenant. But now you have to understand that our sufficiency only comes from God, and without Him we can't do anything. And this is why law is not really able to address these needs. Because law is based on fear, or it is driven by fear rather, the principles of law are based on love, but the driving mechanism is actually fear. And this is why it says in Romans 8:15, for you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. Another version says, for you have not received the spirit of bondage wherein there is fear. So it suggests that bondage is based in fear, and therefore the law is based in fear. Now, I took the time to go and look at the word fear in Greek that was used, and in most of the places in New Testament, the word that was used is delios. One thing I found rather interesting about this word in Greek is it means fear, it means dread, but it also means giving homage or respect or you want to say partial control perhaps to somebody else. And this word is also the one that's used in Revelation 21:8, where he says, but the cowardly, remember that word again there is delios, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, shall have their part in lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Why did he talk about fear here? Why did he say, but the cowardly? In Old King James, it says the fearful. And I think that that is more correct word, because everywhere else, the same word, delios, that's used in Greek, is translated as fear. But here, it's translated as cowardly. It actually, I would believe that the word fearful is more fitting here. Nonetheless, it still means the same thing. It's the same word in Greek. It says, they will have their place in lake of fire, which is second death. Why? Did you ever wonder why? Why is God talking about fear? I have been told so many times in churches that fear is a good thing. You know, you have to be respectful and show fear. That's not what the God is saying. Fear is actually a big part of the law, legal system, and legalism. When I walk in church and I walk legalistically, I walk in fear. Let me try to explain this from a different perspective. When I was in China just recently, and I'm going there and I'm driving through the streets, actually somebody was driving me because I'm not allowed to drive over there, and we are driving and there are all those cameras above so many of the streets, there are cameras, and they take the pictures of the vehicle. And they take the pictures of the people passing by. And then many places, they have cameras with face recognition technology, and they take pictures. So there is an attempt to control. And the Lord spoke to my heart very clearly, and he said, if you have no fear, the devil has no access to you. And I understood it. It was like a flash of lightning. I understood that everything that the government has over there, that everything that the government can throw to control Christians, to stop them from meeting, especially under our underground churches, is based on fear. But if our Christians don't have fear, government has no control. And it's kind of interesting because we are not even doing anything against the government. The Christians, the real Christians, don't really get involved in politics. I'm sorry to those of you out there who love politics. I just get to say it. Real Christians overseas do not get involved in politics. So I can speak for overseas. I will not get into debate here. But the thing is that the Lord showed me, and I realized, and it opened up like a flash of lightning. And I realized fear is, that's everything that the devil uses to control us. Fear of the future, fear of how my children will turn out, even where we live. I want to live in a good neighborhood because I walk in this fear. You know, I may not be against guns, but I'm against having guns because I have fear, because my God is greater than fear. You can have guns for other things, target practice, you know, collect or whatever. I don't get much into it. But if you have it because of your fear, I suggest you trust your God better and lean on him. See, we cannot have fear and trust God. We cannot, let me rephrase it, we cannot have fear and have faith in our God. What kind of faith do you have in the Almighty Maker of the universe if you are afraid of something here and something there? That doesn't mean I don't make decisions to benefit my family, but it does mean I don't make decisions out of fear. You have to understand this, because in the West, we actually are more under influence of fear than they're overseas. And we actually walk quite a bit under fear. I have been with some Christians who said how they carry a gun all the time for protection, and they're really kind of worried about where they live. And I look at them and I go, where is your Christ? Where is your faith? Where is your life in Christ? What happened to all of that? And this lady went on to say to me that, you know, the policeman told her that if somebody comes even between 28 feet of her and is aggressive towards her, she can open her gun and pull her gun out and fire at that person. And I thought, my God, what happened to turning the other cheek? What happened when somebody takes you to the court and wants your shirt, give them your pants off, also kind of thing? What happened to those things? You know, we can't claim to be Christians and conveniently forget the scripture. Well, this is all driven by fear. And you can see this because in 1 John 4:17 to 19 says, love has been perfected amongst us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so we are in this world. There is no fear in love. Let me repeat this. There is no fear in love. I'm reading 1 John 4:17 to 19. And says, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. Now, notice the scripture here. Notice where it says, starting with verse 18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Why? Because fear involves torment. Torment is another word for pain. But he who fears has not been made, what? Perfect in love. I'm just reading from the scripture, guys. We love him because he first loved us. Notice he was talking about the fear, and then he finishes with this. We love him because he first loved us. Why would he switch a topic? He didn't. He didn't. He's talking about love. He's talking about how you can't love God and have fear in your heart. That is what God taught me when I was over in China. I realized I am walking hypocritically if I'm walking in fear, because that means I don't trust him. Many places in the scriptures, Jesus presents that if we have faith, we will not be fearful. Mark 4:40 into 41, just as an example, he said to them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, who can this be, that even the wind and the sea obey him? You know, and this is in many places in the scripture. If you look at, for example, Matthew 8:26, Jesus said, why are you so fearful? How is it you have no faith? And again, the disciples were amazed. And I will finish this segment by also quoting 2 Timothy 1:7. It says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. And I won't have the chance to get to this, but there is a reason why it says God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. The power that he talks about here is the power for salvation. Love and sound mind are the following things that we embrace as we grow in the relationship with Christ. Again, I don't have the time to get into this in this set of series, but it's something I'd like you to definitely study if you're interested in pursuing this topic more. I'm going to finish at this point, but I want you to understand that the driving force of grace is love. The driving force of law is fear. If we walk in fear, we are not walking in faith. If you're not walking in faith, we cannot please him. That's the bottom line, dear ones. That is really the bottom line. And that is a big difference between the Christianity I see overseas, the Christianity I see in China, the Christianity I see in the other countries, in Cuba and other places, where the government is trying to stop it, and they are not able to do it. This is the difference. And this is no longer a situation that the church has to change this or change that. This is a personal change. You as a person have to decide that I am going to walk in a relationship with my God. That is what it's required. You know, the churches, we will have some better churches and some churches that may not be as good. I go to a church that I am very happy with. I'm not going to necessarily list it because I want you to evaluate the churches based on this. You have to understand that there are many pastors out there that are genuine and serious about their faith, but there are many who are serving more the money and the greed than they are God. And I'm sorry to say it, but there are many out there. And this is why Jesus said you can't serve two masters. You can't serve money and God. And that's another topic on its own. But I want to leave you with this. Are you walking in fear? Are you walking in faith? And how do you make your decisions? Do you make your decisions in fear? If you own a gun, do you own it for protection? Or do you own it because you like guns, you collect them, whatever? If you trust anything else but God, if you trust anything else more than God, you have to really re-examine and revisit the topic. We will continue with part 5 of this series next week. I hope that this helps you and encourages you. And if you see yourself missing or falling on any one of these issues, just remember, lean in closer with the relationship with Christ, and He will fix it all. Don't try to fix it. Just get closer to Christ. God bless you all.
The preceding was a presentation by Truth to Wellness Ministries Incorporated, a not-for-profit corporation.
All the events portrayed are true. Some information may have been disguised for security reasons. For more information, please contact us via email at truthtowellness@gmail.com.